This message comes from NPR sponsor Discover. Get the service you deserve with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover. Everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the tax preparation office here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, I've been working with our staff tax advisor, you know, Lou Pohl.
Oh, I know Lou, yeah.
He had some questions. He called them concerns, actually,
about some
of the stuff that you gave him. He asked me to go over it with you.
Good.
You got a minute?
Shoot, man.
He says on line 15, he says you're claiming a deduction of $5,200. It's $100 a week for something you call weekly employee evaluation meetings.
Right on, Buckle.
Well, since when do we have weekly meetings where we evaluate employees?
Friday nights.
Friday night is the night we play poker. What does the weekly poker game have to do with employee evaluation?
When we sit down to play poker, what's the first thing I say to you?
I know, you say like something like, how you doing?
What do you say?
I say, fine.
There you go, man. Employee evaluation.
We're going to be in jail. Can I read some mail?
No.
Because I don't have any stinking mail.
No mail. We're going to go right to the phone.
I'm sorry. Phones. I do have some stinking mail.
But that's why you won't
read
it.
But I don't want to read it.
If you'd like to call us, our number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hello, this is John from Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
John.
Center Hall?
There's a clue in there as to where it is.
Yeah, isn't it like in the middle of the state?
That's it. That's right. I have a problem with my wife's car.
Sure.
It's an 88 VW Golf.
Yeah.
And I don't drive it much, but about every third time I do drive it, the horn blows. And she swears this never happens for her.
What year Golf is it again?
It's 88. An 88.
Pay attention, will you?
Well, I was trying to geographically locate Center Hall, Pennsylvania.
It's 12 miles from Harrisburg.
No, actually, it's right in the center of the state. It's actually when Penn State plays Boston College in football, I can hear them cheering the touchdowns.
Really?
Oh.
Yep.
Out your window?
Yep.
Okay, so you drive your wife's car.
Every once in a while.
And as you're maybe like taking a turn or something, the horn goes beep.
Well, that's just it. It happens all different times. The last time it happened, I sat in it without touching the wheel because I figured that might have something to do with it. Put the key in, turn the key, and there goes the horn. Now, it'll blow anywhere from just a quick little beep to one time we were both in the car and I was driving, and it went on for about 5 minutes.
Oh.
So she swears there's a lard butt indicator under the driver's seat.
Maybe.
That's good. She's quick.
So she knows that you're not fabricating this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's been with me. I went to move the car in the driveway the other day, and that's when it did it, when I put the key in. And she was watching me the whole time, knows that I didn't, you know, touch the wheel, knows that it'll happen.
Right.
I can be driving, I can be turning, I can be, you know, sitting at a light. It just doesn't matter.
And according to her, this never happens when she drives
never,
the car.
Never, ever happened.
However, we know that there's never a time when the two of you are in the car together that you're not driving.
Well,
because we know that men always drive.
Well, when we're in the car together, we're usually in my car.
But if you were in her car, you'd be driving.
About half the time.
No, but this has happened to you even when you were driving her car and she wasn't with you.
That's right.
So you are the common denominator.
But what I'm saying is that there's probably very little time that they're in this Golf
when she's driving.
That she's behind the wheel. This may be happening to her.
All the time.
And she may be blaming you. She may be trying to drive you crazy.
The gaslight syndrome, yes.
Yeah, it might be the gaslight syndrome, exactly. Ingrid Bergman and Charles Boyer. I remember that movie well.
That could very well be.
It could be. I mean, what's probably wrong is that the horn button mechanism, which is what it's called, in the middle of the steering wheel, is probably grounding out, and that's what makes the horn blow.
Uh-huh.
The current comes into that thing, and then when you press it, you complete the circuit to ground, and that's how the horn blows.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's a simplistic answer.
Well, that's the answer.
That's a simplistic answer, but the real question is, why does it only happen to John?
That's right.
That's the real question. Boy, I mean, are you working on that aspect?
I am working. I'm working on it feverishly.
What was that theory of your wife's about the large butt?
This car does not have tilt wheel.
No.
Of course not.
And there'd be no reason to assume that you would do anything differently except from adjusting the seat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're probably taller than your wife.
Right.
And adjusting the seat should have absolutely nothing to do with the wiring in the steering column.
Yeah. This has happened.
Wait.
Well, this has happened. It's 8 years old, and it's happened almost from the beginning for me.
Are you a lard butt?
I don't quite weigh twice what she does.
Do you weigh more than 200 pounds?
Yes.
You weigh more than 200 pounds?
Yes.
It's the only clue we have, and it's not getting us any place. I mean, it would be interesting if we could come up with a theory that says when you have 200 pounds in the car, it deforms something in such a way that a certain wire, which we know exactly the position of, would just be beep.
But you said you got it to blow and you just turned the key and didn't do anything else.
But you were sitting in the car.
I was sitting in the car, but I turned the key without touching any of the steering wheel or any of the other instruments.
And how did you get it to stop then?
That time it just went, just
stops
a beep
by
beep,
itself.
A quick one, yeah.
But have there been any times where it's gone on for a long time and you've managed to do something to get it to stop?
No, just wait. And luckily it's one of those cars that when you turn the ignition key off, the horn stops.
Yeah.
And so what you do is you just sit there and check it every once in a while until it's done.
The radio doesn't go off, but the horn stops
going. That's right. Well, the one good thing about it, though, is it is a Golf, and it's the rattle in the interior of the car is getting to such a pitch that it's hard to hear the horn.
Right. The horn is a welcome interruption. Boy, I wish we could give you a brilliant theory, but we have failed you.
Oh, boy.
Miserably. Well, I feel embarrassed.
Well, we need more hints. I mean, you've got to give us more information.
He just told you he weighs 220 pounds. What more do you want?
Maybe I could get her to gain 100 and see if it does it for her.
I got it. Next time it would be interesting. Next time she drives the car alone, she weighs 110 pounds. Get a 110-pound weight and put it on her lap.
Or sit in her lap.
Or sit in her lap. And see if the horn blows, because that will be a big, big clue.
I'll do it.
Well, I suppose it's possible that some wire is chafing against the horn wire would have to be.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow you are changing the geometry.
Yeah.
By putting your large butt in the seat.
So essentially it is a large butt indicator.
See, you should always pay attention to wives because they know everything. Well,
I mean, my best guess would have to be that it clearly has to do with your weight and that somehow you are causing the wire for the horn to short out inside the steering column.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if someone pulls that apart, they will see probably immediately what's wrong and they'll fix it in no time.
Okay.
You're a good sport, John.
Okay, well, thanks.
Thanks for calling.
So long.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back with the answer to the puzzler right after these messages.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Hulu. Dive into the chilling new Hulu original series, Under the Bridge, the riveting adaptation of the acclaimed true crime book. Based on shocking true events, Under the Bridge tells the haunting story of a murder that lays bare a small community's darkest secrets. Go deep into the hidden world of the town's tormented teenagers as detectives race to solve the sinister crime. Starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone, Under the Bridge is now streaming with new episodes Wednesdays, only on Hulu. This message comes from NPR sponsor Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC health/whatsyourwhy.
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at betterhelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month.
Okay, here's the moment America has been waiting weeks for.
Yeah. This stupid synonym puzzler is finally going to be over. I'm sick of it.
Well, we received many, many responses, and today we have the winners. But here's the puzzler.
What is the puzzler? I forgot it now.
Of the thousands of automotive terms in existence, and we left it very general so people would have artistic license, or licentia poetica.
Yeah, right.
That's what it's called, isn't it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think poetic license is licentia poetica. If I remember, all those Latin scholars will write to us anyway.
That's a license to drive a poet. Crazy.
We asked for pairs of words whose secondary, that is, non-automotive meanings, happen to be synonymous. And the classic example we gave was tire, which is clearly an automotive term, and exhaust, which is clearly another automotive term.
And they mean the same thing.
And they mean the same thing.
It's what you do to me every day. You wear me out.
In their non-automotive usages.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
I got it.
So there are two parts of the car, and then non-automotive meanings mean the same thing to tire and to exhaust. And we ask our listeners to come up with their best pairs of automotive terms whose non-automotive meanings are synonymous. So read us the winners, Tommy.
Well, we'll read the winners, but I should explain that we must have gotten 15,000 entries. All right, maybe a couple of hundred. We got a lot of entries to this. This is one of the most popular puzzlers that we've had in ages.
Yes,
but
it was.
I will read a few. How about this? This person.
You're reading excerpts now?
I'm reading just excerpts. We got too many to read. I mean, there are some here that are thousands of pages long. Rick Newton from Kent, Ohio, broke things up into categories like clothing and body words. And he's got pump and shoe.
That's
good. Hood and muffler. This one, I don't know where he got this. Strip and flash, as in flasher. That's good, right?
And a more traditional note,
from K.
McNulty from Canton, Ohio, we have fuse and weld.
Ooh, that's
core
good.
And hub.
Good.
Seat and rear end. Shoes and boots.
Gee, that's good. Here's one from Jake Scawny, pronounced like Ronnie, and Chatch. What the heck? How can we send them anything? Oh, we got a phone number. They had a whole page or two of stuff here. Here's one that I would actually take issue with, but I thought it was clever. They have manual, as in manual transmission, and primer, as in paint. Both are types of books, but I believe it's primer.
It can be pronounced either way.
It can. Yes. In which case, it's okay then. It's okay with me.
I would believe the Brits would pronounce it a primer.
I think the whole country would.
No, I don't think so.
Whatever.
I don't think so.
How about hose and shaft? From Gregory Shade and Linda Simon.
He got hose or he got
shafted. Exactly right. I love it.
Now we have head and dome.
Yeah, that's good.
And, a whole list of, wow.
Okay, the only...
Plug and seal, heater, radiator, a cord, and compact. I like that one.
A cord and
Those came from another winner.
Yeah.
Charlie Jordan from Boone's Mill, Virginia.
I thought these guys ought to win. Who is this? Dick Brass from Price, Utah. He wins only on the basis of quantity. I have no idea what all these things say, but there's a million of them. So he certainly put a little star on
it. So we have, how many winners do we have?
Wait, I got one more.
Five winners?
We're going to have six or seven winners. This one's Cynthia Stokes from Minneapolis. And the only one on here that really got me was juice, as in battery juice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, can you think of any automotive expression that goes with juice?
Not offhand.
V8.
Okay.
Good for you, Cynthia. All of these people whose synonyms we just read are going to get a copy of The Best of Car Talk, which is available on CD and on cassette. And as we've explained before, which one you order should depend on how much your kitchen table wobbles. If it wobbles just a little bit, I would recommend the CD because it's quite thin. You can use the CD itself, or you can use the packaging for the CD. You just slide it. If the table moves 3/8 of an inch or more,
go
you may
the cassette,
need the best of cassette.
And by the way, if you don't have your very own copy of The Best of Car Talk, you can always get one through Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division, whose number is 303 303- 800-823-8000. And more importantly, we have a brand new puzzler coming up during the second half of today's show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, you can call us at 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
My name is Deanna.
Deanna?
Yeah.
Is that with two N's?
Yes.
I wrote Dean, and I left a space, and I wrote an A, so I could put in the extra N.
Fill it in.
Yep. It's in.
And where are you from, Deanna?
New York City.
Like Manhattan, New York City?
Like Manhattan, yes.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah.
You don't own a car.
Well, yeah, actually, I do. That's my problem.
Oh.
You're a banker, then.
No. It's actually my mother's car, but she has a broken foot, so now all her car problems are my car problem.
In addition to having to drive her around every place.
Yeah.
Gee, what a nightmare.
Don't forget, she drove you around to plenty of places.
I know. We're going diaper for diaper, but that's beside the point. That's beside the point.
Yeah.
Want to hear about the car?
Sure.
Okay, it's the 87 Plymouth Reliant, the car designed and built for life in the city.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Of course.
Because it's rather unassuming, you know.
Mm-hmm. Never gets stolen. Who would ever want it?
Right, and you would think, wouldn't you, that the parts would not be in high demand?
There are quite a few of these around.
Well, the battery is in very high demand.
Oh, yeah. Well, that battery happens to fit a jillion other cars.
Yes, universal. Right. How many times has it been stolen in your fair city?
Well, my city is not as fair as some, I guess. It's been stolen about 4 times.
No kidding.
Twice in the last month. So this was our solution.
I have the solution, but give me yours.
We'll explain to you the twice in a month theory in a moment, but go ahead.
Okay, well, you know how in this city you have to move your car every day to the other side of the street?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the solution. It's horrible. I have to carry the battery down to the car each time, install it, close it up, drive the car around the block, repark it, take out the battery, and schlep it all the way back up to my apartment.
Jeez.
And it's not a pretty sight. I don't like it.
Well, you could just put it in the trunk.
But they could open the trunk just as easily, and plus...
Yeah, but they won't be looking for a battery in there. They might open your hood and no battery, and they'll give up. They're not gonna, unless they see you put it in the trunk, of course.
Right. Have you possible, because here's the thing, and I park it in the same neighborhood every day.
Yeah.
And that's my theory about the twice in a month thing, is that they know the car, because it's down there all the time.
Exactly. Well,
worse than that, they know that once they steal your battery...
I'm going to put another one back.
You're going to have a brand new one in there, so they won't have to steal a crummy old one.
When they steal batteries, they don't really want to steal old batteries.
Right.
So they say, how can we identify the cars that will have new batteries in them? And they say it's very simple. The cars from which we stole the batteries yesterday will have brand new batteries in them today.
Right, and if you look carefully on the left front fender, you will see a nearly invisible mark that the battery thieves put there so they can identify your car as having had its battery stolen.
Having knowledge of this theory, I mean, when I first moved to a certain section of this city, here in Boston, the North End.
Right.
The first night I parked my 56 Chevy there.
Known for its thieves and criminals, criminal element, I might add.
Right.
Watch it, will you? You crazy?
The first night I
left the car there. I came the next day, and the battery was missing.
Huh.
Knowing, of course, that the only reason they stole my battery was because they wanted to get a brand new one the next day, I purposely went to the junkyard and paid $2 for a battery that was on its last legs.
Oh,
but
good
it was
for you.
Sufficient to start the car, so I put it in the car, drove it back, and put a note on top of it saying, ha, ha, ha.
They broke his windshield.
So they broke my windshield.
See, I believe that.
Yeah.
That's what I'm afraid of.
No, it's you know, you can't mess with these. If they want to steal your battery, let them steal it. It's like having an argument with someone that's preparing your food. You never know what they're going to do to it behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Don't ever fight with the guy that's making your food.
So you should just lie down and let them take your battery every day. That's
no.
It.
Yeah.
No, cool. You know what? This happened a couple of years ago.
On a Sprite, Mr. Funny Man.
It happened. Yeah.
We figured out how to stop them for a while because we saw somebody stealing a battery out of another car.
Yeah.
And what they were doing was going up underneath the hood and popping it open with a stick.
Right.
So we put a little piece of metal in there so that they couldn't get a stick up there to pop it open. But now I don't know how they're doing it.
Yeah, they have their ways.
Is there any prevention for this?
Well, you can put a
padlock,
a chain, the kind you'd use to chain a bicycle.
Right.
Okay, which of course they can cut with bolt cutters, but the more equipment that you require to carry for them to carry around, the more difficult it becomes for them.
True.
You know, so what chances are these are guys on bicycles?
No. Well, good luck, Deanna.
Well, you're not going to tell me what to
do. No, buy the chain. Buy a chain with a padlock. So you can open the hood with the hood release from inside, and then in order to open it more than 3 more inches, you need to undo this chain and padlock.
Okay. But there's not anything that's specifically made. Maybe you could invent it.
Well,
you
could
invent it.
For a while, I actually put a chain around my battery when I lived in the North End.
Okay.
I just took a chain and a padlock and wrapped it around the battery. And I don't know if they ever came looking to take the battery after that, but it never got stolen.
But he did find
after
his
that.
Windshield broken 3 more times.
No, I mean, I know that I don't know if that prevented them from ever stealing the battery again. But I had that chain and padlock around the battery for as long as I had the car.
Then he forgot the combination, and he had to sell the car because he couldn't change the battery.
So, I mean, I think the idea of forcing them to carry bolt cutters with them.
That's a good idea.
Although they probably have bolt cutters already.
Yeah.
When they stole your battery, were the battery cables still intact?
One time they were, and one time they were not.
Yeah, so they have the bolt cutters already.
They have them, yeah, to cut the chains.
So it won't matter.
That really irked me.
I mean, I don't want to badmouth New York, but it is the rottenest place in the world to be.
It's
disgusting, horrible, crime-ridden, filthy, and...
Never, Thomas.
You want me to tell you what I really feel about the place?
Yeah, don't hold back, man. It's not good for your blood pressure.
Let it out slowly, okay?
Good luck, Deanna.
Okay, thanks.
Buy two chains. See ya.
Okay, I will. Bye.
We'll be right back with more calls and the new puzzler right after these messages.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive Insurance, where drivers who switch could save hundreds on car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why Betterment believes cash can be a strategic choice.
There are times when the market is volatile, when customers are a little nervous about investing. We came to understand that there was an opportunity to introduce cash as part of an investing strategy and to give back yields to the customer.
Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Progressive. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit their website to get a quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, and their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. Then, just choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. This message comes from NPR sponsor Bluehost. Try Bluehost Cloud, the hosting plan made for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, fast load times, and 24/7 support, your sites can handle high traffic spikes. Visit Bluehost.com.
Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk on National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. And we're here to discuss cars, somewhat, I guess, car repair, and Freudian theory at work.
Alan Barrett from San Antonio, Texas, says, I had the craziest dream of my life last night. While at first I wrote it off to the frutti di mare and 4 glasses of Chianti I had at a late supper, I realized later that even great Italian food and wine can't make you this crazy or stupid in your sleep. It had to be something else, something I'd experienced earlier in the day. Finally, it hit me. Car Talk, specifically the Car Talk puzzler dialogue that was playing that day while I was trying to work out why the New York Times can't find crossword writers who know any American words. The only possible explanation for my dream is that your request for puzzlers with subjective answers got all tangled up with my continental crossword frustrations in kind of a left-right brain late-night linguine short circuit. I mean, I did a left-right brain late-night linguine short circuit. I know it. The dream is meant to be a puzzle because everyone I tell it to gets this very puzzled look. The same puzzled look my old dog Finster used to get when I tried to teach him to bring me the paper. Okay, here's the dream. I'm on my way to check out an NPR news report. This is in his dream now. That a pack of Cub Scouts were doing a good deed for their neighborhood by demolishing a long-abandoned pizza restaurant. You can see why the Italian food explanation made sense.
Yes.
It seemed everybody wanted to be rid of the old building, but no one in the community was willing to pay a real demolition company to raise it. What made the story worth a special trip was the Scouts' demolition method. The report said, this is his dream, the Scouts had collected 40,000 fly swatters for recycling. They were going to toss all the fly swatters on top of the flat-roofed old pizzeria.
It was going to collapse.
Which everyone figured would come crashing down under the combined load. When I got to the demolition site, there were the Cub Scouts. They weren't wearing traditional uniforms, but they were indeed tossing fly swatters on top of the boarded-up old building. I've had dreams like this.
Yeah.
The only problem was that the news report had been wrong. Instead of 40,000 fly swatters, the Scouts had only collected 40 fly swatters.
Ah.
Apparently, Tom's theory that multiple repetitions of any inane argument will wear the subject down, I don't recall that, had worked itself into my dream logic. The Scouts had figured that if 40,000 fly swatters would collapse the building, throwing 40 fly swatters on the roof 1,000 times would have the same
Makes
effect.
Makes perfect sense to me.
You can see this is a dream, because you couldn't be this stupid in real life. To accomplish this, there were brief periods of fly swatters flying and flopping onto the roof. Then the Scouts would scramble up on parked cars to get up on the roof, retrieve their bespecked, meshed sledges, jump down, and launch yet another assault against the hapless pizza palace. When the process got to about 80 or 90 salvos, I woke up. It was Sunday morning and my cat was licking my eyelids. Not being trained in dream interpretation, which of course we are, and being unable to pick up the dream where I'd left off, I don't have a clue what this was all about or if the Cub Scouts would have succeeded in crushing the crusty old pizza parlor. Crusty, he works in there. Since you guys are obviously at least partially to blame for making my subconscious have this stupid dream, I'm asking your other innocent listeners, who've probably spent a few sleepless puzzler nights of their own, to offer their explanations of this dream puzzler and slash or provide a short treatise on the merits of using periodic cycles of flying recycled fly swatters to rid our inner cities of pesky pizza parlors. Mm. Alan Barrett, San Antonio, Texas.
Well,
I mean, we must have some psychoanalysts out there in the listening audience.
It's clear that he's trying to find a way to get us off the air.
Oh.
We are the pizza parlor.
We are the pizza
You and I.
Parlor.
Yeah.
And he's trying to destroy us.
He's trying to create a grassroots movement to dump us.
To dump us?
Yeah.
How do you figure that?
Somehow he feels that we're responsible for whatever psychosis he's suffering.
Gee,
yeah.
Gee, that's very good.
Yeah, I think so. I think we are the pizza parlor. Yeah. And the fly swatters, I don't understand the fly swatters, but we are so insignificant as to be.
That's always so insignificant that even a fly swatter could do us in.
Right.
And 40 fly swatters would be
more than enough. That's why the 40,000 were unnecessary.
40,000 were unnecessary.
So what he's trying to impress upon people listening to this,
yeah,
is that it wouldn't take much to get rid of us.
39 other people. That's easy.
Well, maybe 38. He might have a dual personality.
So mail all your letters right to Alan here. Alan Barrett, care of Car Talk Plaza, the usual address, the usual suspects.
Send your fly swatters.
Send your fly swatters and whatever else. And when he gets 40, he's all set.
All right, enough fooling around. It's time for the new puzzler.
Yes.
And it's interesting that, I mean, I have a whole bunch of automotive puzzlers that I could choose from.
Do you?
But you'll be disappointed when you find out which one I'm going to use, I'm sure. An old guy came into the shop the other day, and he reminded me by telling me this little story. He was giving me a puzzler. He said, "Nah, your puzzles have been kind of crummy lately." You know, he said, "Maybe you can use this one." And I think we received a letter, but with the same puzzler embedded in it. He said one day he was driving
But since you've forgotten who that letter was from, we don't have to send that person a hat or anything.
He or she can remind us and we will send a hat.
Sure.
If we manage. If your letter doesn't get lost. The post office loses mail all the time, man. And then you know what happens? We send the hat out. That gets lost. Do we can't be responsible for that?
Yeah.
He said he was driving his car. It was an old Chevrolet of some kind in the 60s or 70s.
60s or 70s.
It didn't really make that much difference.
Yeah.
He's driving along. He's out on the highway, and he hears a noise like something. He's driven over something in the road. A thump! And he said, "Oh my God, what was that?" And immediately, it's followed by an incredible vibration from the engine.
Yeah.
So he slows down to 5 or 10 miles an hour, and the vibration is still there, but obviously it's reduced because he slowed down. He tries to speed up, and the thing is shaking like crazy. But when he stops the thing and puts it in park, he opens the hood, the engine's running, everything looks all right. He looks underneath the car. He can see nothing. He says, So he makes his way to a gas station, he tells me. And while he's at the gas station...
On his way to the gas station, it's still...
like crazy.
I got it.
The gas station attendant looks at it and scratches his head and says, "Geez, I don't know." He says, "Shut it off for a second." And he says, "Aha." Now, meanwhile, the old guy's in the car.
Right.
You can't get out of the car. It's against insurance regulations.
Of course.
He says, "Okay, I see what's going on here." And he spends about 30 seconds doing something under the hood.
Under the hood.
At which point, he takes something and throws it in the trash. And he says, "Start her up. Your vibration's all gone."
Yeah.
The old fellow says, "Well, am I going to make it home all right?" He says, "Yeah, I think so, if you're not stuck in traffic for too long." Get it fixed.
The question is...
Get it fixed when you get a chance.
What color is the car?
How many doors does it have?
Now, you said 60s or 70s, and it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to guess.
Could be 50s.
Are you sure of that?
Could be 40s.
No kidding!
Could have been the 30s.
Ooh! Okay, that's all I wanted to know.
It's unlikely to be the 90s.
Oh, unlikely to be the 90s.
If you think you know the answer or you have time at work to spend figuring it out, which I know everyone has, write that answer on the back of a postcard and send it to us here at Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
02238. And if we choose you as one of our winners and you catch us, we'll send you a copy of the Best of Car Talk on cassette or CD, which is now on top of the New York Times list of most offensive audio products
on the
ever,
market today.
Ever.
Oh, ever. Of all time.
Of all time.
Ooh, that's good.
What a distinction,
eh? Most offensive audio product.
Now, if you'd like to call us, the number is 1-800-332-9287. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Valerie Hubbard. I'm calling from Bloomington, Indiana.
Hi, Valerie.
No last names, please, Valerie.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, how is everything in Bloomington, Indiana?
Bloomington's a wonderful town.
Is it really?
It really is. Indiana University, you know, Bob Knight basketball.
Yeah. No,
School
I don't
music.
Know about basketball, but I do know about Indiana.
Oh, is that where that guy, he's the coach?
Yeah.
He's a butthead.
Is he?
I'm not saying anything.
Well, he is.
Why? What did he do? What did he do to you?
Oh, he has a tendency to throw chairs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
oh, he does.
But he gets results. He gets results. Anyways, I have to ask you a question.
He can write us a letter, but I contend he's a jerk.
Yeah, so Valerie.
So I have 10 minutes because I'm a teacher and I got to be in class in 10 minutes.
Oh, okay, good. We'll let you know when it's 5
Okay,
minutes.
Here's my problem. I need you to settle an argument for me between me and my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Who thinks he is like Mr. Carbuff. And actually, he is. He could be a mechanic if he wanted to, but here's the story.
But his IQ's too high.
Right. No, he's a musician also, but anyways, he's really good at cars. But in September, I bought a 1995 Pontiac Sunfire GT. And then in October, I got really sick, and I ended up in the hospital and stuff. And while I was in the hospital, I let him drive my car because he doesn't drive a car that's as nice as mine, and he wanted to drive one that he liked better.
Yeah. Mm.
So I lent it to him. Anyways, about 2 months later, I asked him, just out of curiosity, I said, hey, Don, how quick do you think this car would go? And he says, well, do you want the truth? And I said, sure. So he said, well, it goes 112 miles an hour.
Oh.
And I said, and how would you know this? And he said, well, remember when you were sick and in the hospital and you lent me your car? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I just decided that, you know, I needed to see how fast it went. And I said, well, okay. Well, I said, I thought that was kind of stupid because if he'd wrecked the car, he would have been in big trouble. But anyways, his rationale for this, and this is where you have to help me out here, is that...
Yeah, I'm dying to hear what his rationale is.
I'm dying to hear it myself.
His rationale for this is that in order to properly break in the engine of a new car, you have to take it to its maximum speed. And here is what I ask. If this is the case, then aren't most people in the world driving around with improperly broken in cars?
Yes, and that's why the rest of us only get like 150,000 miles on our car.
If you're lucky, you'll get about 33,000 and it'll be dead. How many miles? This car was brand new, I presume.
Yeah, I bought it with 12 miles on it.
Bought it with 12, and on when you went into the hospital and gave the car to him, how many miles did it have on it?
Oh, I don't know, probably about
a couple of hundred.
Maybe 1,000.
Maybe 1,000, and it is in that period from 1,000 miles to a few miles after that.
Right.
That he drove it at 112 miles an hour.
Just once, he says.
Just once.
Yeah, but now I don't know whether to believe him.
Well, of course you can't believe him.
Yeah, you can't believe him.
But my question is...
Did you happen to read the owner's manual?
Yes, very thoroughly, actually.
Yeah, and did you happen to notice that it precisely tells you not to do this?
It does.
Yes, it does.
Wonderful. See, I am in agreement with you on this one. But
sure.
And he knows he's in trouble, too.
Of course he's in trouble. No. He's a moron. I would dump him immediately. Okay, you can go back to class. What grade do you teach? I can tell from your voice, Valerie, that you teach little kids.
No, actually, I teach grades 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12.
Wow.
All in one room?
Well, I'm a music teacher, so I do a whole bunch of different
things. Oh, so you're a music teacher, and this boyfriend of yours...
Ex-boyfriend.
About to be ex-boyfriend. Is a musician.
Right.
Yeah, dump him.
Right, he doesn't get many gigs because he has an old jalopy, and he has this desire to drive fast.
He has a 1985 Dodge Charger that they replaced the original engine with and put a Dodge Caravan engine in. That should tell you something.
God. All right.
That's
well.
Like taking out your heart and putting two D-sized batteries in. That's good.
Well,
he's wrong, absolutely.
So you were on my side on this one.
Well, not only are we on your side, but
for a lot of different reasons, he shouldn't have been driving 112. Number one.
Unless he's in Montana.
Unless he's in Montana.
Unless he's in Montana.
Which is where he belongs.
So can you, do me a favor and say really loudly that, Don, you're wrong?
Sure we can do that. Okay. Don, you're a meatball and a moron.
I think you ought to get the message from that.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling, Valerie.
Don't get sick anymore. Stay healthy.
Stay healthy.
I'm working on it.
And keep your eyes open for another boyfriend.
Get plenty of sleep. If you don't get enough sleep, you're going to get sick. That's why you got sick in the first place.
Well, I work 12 hours a day, so there's not a whole lot of chance to get sick.
There you go. There you go.
It's no good.
No, get plenty of sleep.
Yeah. My brother hasn't been sick for 40 years. Sleeps all the time.
They wake me up just to do the show.
Right.
Sometimes. See you, Valerie.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
112. First of all, in a Sunfire. I mean, talk about taking your life in your hands.
Well, you squandered another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug, not a slave to fashion, punkin' lips, soon to be married.
Oh.
Berman. Still on, isn't it?
Soon to be a mister, huh? She's going to make you a decent man. Unlikely.
Our associate producer and dean of the College of Auto Music College is Ken Babyface Rogers. I have to go back to Babyface because I like that the best.
It's good.
Our engineer and assistant producer.
Who, by the way, is having a very unusual hair day.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. What do they call that hairstyle? Yeah.
Shemp.
I think so, Shemp.
Ken Shemp Rogers. I like it.
Our engineer and assistant producer who's having a pretty good hair day, I might add, is Jennifer Gonifer Conifer Loeb. Our technical advisor, who's actually here today, is Mr. John Lawler. He's armed. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjan Overa. Our literary critics are Ernest and Julia Hemingway. Our jazz music coordinator is Bertha DeBlues. Our director of new product repair is Warren T. Myfoot. Our regional director in Atlanta is Frank Lee Scarlett. Our director of gender studies is Amanda B. Reckonwith. Our director of country music is Stan Byerman. Our online expert is Cy Burnett. The chairman of our underemployment study group is Art Majors. The Car Talk opera critic is Barbara Seville. Our fleet manager is Oscar De La Rental. Our director of Cadillac steering is Toulouse Dutrac. Our staff marriage counselor is Marion Haste. Our staff bikini waxer is Harry Moovil. Our director of sports information is Linus Crimmage. Our producer's office is furnished by Rick Kleiner. And, of course, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known around Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers. Don't drive like my brother.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. Now, if you discover some unfortunate need to acquire a cassette copy of this week's show, which is number 11, you can get one by calling Car Talk's Shameless Commerce Division at 303-823-8000.
You can also order the Best of Car Talk at that same number, which, if you forgot it already and didn't write it down, is 303-823-8000. And that Best of Car Talk comes with our Dewey, Cheatham & Howe unconditional money-back guarantee. We guarantee that you won't get your money back under any conditions.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though FCC investigators rub their hands together in gleeful anticipation when they hear us say it, this is NPR, National Public Radio.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Shopify, the global commerce platform that helps you sell and show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/NPR.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/NPR.
Last year, over 20,000 people joined the Body Electric study to change their sedentary, screen-filled lives. And guess what?
We saw amazing effects.
Now you can try NPR's Body Electric Challenge yourself. Listen to updated and new episodes wherever you get your podcasts.